Good morning. Take your Bible and turn to Galatians chapter 5, if you would, please. Galatians chapter 5. What a privilege to live in America. Well, three of you think so.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. What a privilege of the men who founded this nation, men like John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, George Washington. Always recall, and history is history regardless of who tries to rewrite it. Amen. Patrick Henry said, as for me, give me liberty or give me death. So I'm thankful to live in America. I'm thankful for those who formed it, especially the Declaration of Independence, that we have the freedoms we have today. But there's no greater freedom in the world than to be in America and to be a believer in America and know Christ. That's where freedom really is in Him. So when we look at our passage this morning, we're going to learn some things from two passages, first beginning in Galatians 5, 1 and verse 16 primarily, and then we'll slip over to Hebrews chapter 12. The theme this morning is running in freedom, running in freedom. When we came to the Lord, we came to Him for salvation, and in that salvation, there came a responsibility and God to direct our path and guide us in all of our ways in our life. We have an America that's free, so we can do that. It's a privilege to share the text this morning, and I want to share with you freedom. When we talk about freedom, sometimes we take it a little bit lackadaisically maybe, but the word freedom from the original text literally translates liberty. We have liberty today. We have freedom to do, freedom to be who we are in Christ. Liberty, especially a state of freedom from slavery. From slavery. Now, let me use the term with that to say this. Before you became a Christian, you were in bondage. You were in bondage to sin, and there was an innate problem with you, and it was a sin problem, and the only hope that you had or do have today is through Lord Jesus Christ that freedom would come into your life through a personal relationship and all of that being focused and centered around the cross of Calvary. First thing, for freedom, we're set free. Look what Paul says in Galatians 5:1, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. These Galatians were free, but now all of a sudden they're coming back under a yoke of bondage, as they're being told. The only way you can be a true Christian is to come under the law and come to Christ. And that is not true. We come to Christ, and freedom is in that very thing, Him, freedom of the penalty of sin. The point is, once we become free in our relationship to Christ, we're free from the penalty of sin, we don't want to come back under that element of bondage ever again. And if we're not careful, we will, and we can very easily as we walk away or turn away from the Lord. These Judaizers were seeking to lead these believers back under the Mosaic law. They were saying the law plus grace, as I've already said, to be a true believer. Not so. How are we saved? We believe this with all of our heart. We're saved by faith alone, by grace alone, through Scripture alone. That's how we're saved. That's how we come to Christ. It's not by works, lest any man should boast. That's correct. We must not use our, though that's true, we are free, we cannot use our freedom as a license to licentiousness. We cannot do that. Verse 13, for you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Do not do that. How do we prevent that? We walk by the Spirit, and He tells us that down in verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do or need to do. We're free to serve the Lord. We're free to serve one another. We're free to love one another and to love the Lord. That's our freedom in Christ. And He says, walk by the Spirit. Paul states to walk by the Spirit and not under law. Legalism is a killer for the Christian, and it'll put you in bondage. I grew up in a world of legalism. I grew up in a world where I heard, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Don't, don't. When I begin to study Scripture and learn it, I figured it out, that if I'll do the do's, the don'ts will pretty well take care of themselves. That's just the way it happens. And so I don't focus on what you shouldn't do. I focus on what you should do. The scriptures fill with things we're not to do. We should look at those, but we don't just focus on those because there's a freedom in Christ. Legalism is a killer and a great form of bondage. The word walk here, when Paul says in verse 16, but walk by the Spirit, the word walk literally means, translates, way or manner of life. It's your way or manner of life is how you live. To walk, I'm walking now, but the question is, how am I walking as I walk through life? It is my manner. It is my way. It is how I live. It is what I do. It is what people see in my life. That's my walk. It's the walk and journey of life as I go through. So we're controlled by the Spirit. If we are, what does that mean? It causes us to want to do something. To be filled with the Spirit causes us to want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Why are you here today? Question. You can talk in church. God don't mind. Why are you here? Obligation, duty, or to worship? In freedom. That's why you've come. I hope you came because you wanted to. Now, some of you may not. Mom may have wanted you to, and her want outweighed your want, so you came. And that's fine. But the bottom line is, I hope you want to come. But listen, just coming to church is not the Christian life. If that was all there was to it, it would be simple, wouldn't it? But you've got to leave here today. And you have to go out into the world tomorrow and walk in this world. You have to be in this world. And it's difficult. It's like pastoring a church, which I had 6 pastorates full time. I told young men all the time, if it's all it was to do was to preach, it'd be a cakewalk. And that's the truth. It's what you deal with Monday through Friday, lots of times, is what makes it tragic. And I'll give you a very prime example. The guy walks across the Greenbelt to my church, Carrollton, Texas, sits down by the air conditioner units near our fellowship hall, and takes out a .45 and kills himself. Those are things you deal with in pastoral ministry. It's not just preaching. If this was all there was to it. So my point is, just you coming here today is not the point. Though it's a good point, it's not the point. The point is, how do we live when we leave here and go out into the world? We need to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, and it wants us to follow the way, God's way. And God's way is not sometimes our way, amen? God's way is marked by holiness, by purity, by righteousness, by love, by grace, and obedience, to mention a few. We will avoid walking in the flesh when we're controlled by the Spirit. Controlled by the Spirit. The word here is really, when you look at this verse 16, one of the things that really stands out is the concept of flesh. And one translator says this, don't make your flesh the base of your operation. I'll say that to you again. Don't let your flesh be the base of your operation. In other words, don't live life based on what you think, what you see, and your emotions. Live your life based on what the Spirit is saying to you. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So it's very important that we walk in the Spirit and walk in His way. And if we do, we'll avoid the flesh. Avoid the flesh. Martin Luther said this, and I quote, I do not deny that the lust of the flesh includes carnal lust, but it takes more. It takes in all the corrupt desires with which believers are more or less infected, such as pride, hatred, covetousness, and impatience. See, a lot of things that is sin in Scripture, we don't recognize as sin in our life, and we need to do that and understand we can be infected by that if we're not careful. Walking in the Spirit is the key, yet it is a battle we face daily. Jeff brought out a while ago about America and how the battle has raged ever since July the 4th, 1776, that we maintain this freedom. Some strategic and very hard decisions have been made by the leaders of our country that we might maintain this freedom. And it will continue to be that way. But for us, it's that way too. We battle daily the flesh. Paul said that in Romans chapter 7. What did he say? What I want to do, I don't do. And what I don't do, I wish I did. Anybody identify? If we're honest, we do. So we identify with that particular principle. The flesh is not redeemed. Please get that in your mind. This old flesh of mine, it wants to do some things. It thinks some things. Have you ever been just walking along? Maybe you're sitting watching TV, whatever you're doing, and a thought comes through your mind. You say, where in the world did that come from? It's the enemy. Never forget that though we're free, we have an enemy. And that enemy is Satan himself, who wants to come against us and distract us and keep us from being all that God would have us be. We must feed the new man. Please hear that statement. We must feed the new man. If you're in Christ, you need to be feeding the new man, not the old man. Amen? Got to feed the new man. How do we feed that new man? We feed by coming to worship, hearing Pastor David preach on a regular basis, going to Mark's life group and literacy class, doing whatever, and then daily you are in the Word feeding the new man. And if you're feeding the new man, then the old man will not control you. If you're not feeding the new man, the old man's going to rise to the surface. And my wife is here today, 52 years. She's sitting right over here. And sometimes she knows that the old man rises up in me. Confession is good for the soul, not necessarily for the character, okay? But I'm just being honest. All of us in this room have a very commonality. It is a sin problem. But also we have another common thing, and that we let the old man take control because we're not perfect. God sees us that way, thank the Lord he does, but we're not, and we labor, and we feed the new man, and we seek to walk in freedom. Freedom is ours as believers, freedom from the law of condemnation. Romans 8:1, what a great verse. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. No judicial judgment for you, amen? That ought to make a Baptist shout, that you're free from that. And then the other, freedom from sin's penalty, Romans 6:23. Yet we must not distort the word, as many are doing in our present day, to the point of licentiousness. God says nothing about we can do what we want to, where we want to, when we want to, with who we want to. Nothing said about that. He said we're to walk in the Spirit. We're to be filled with the Spirit. We're to glorify him as we journey through life. Let's read a verse together, and before we move to Hebrews, John chapter 8, if you'd like to look there, John chapter 8, verse 31. John 8, verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are offspring of Abraham. We have never been enslaved to anyone. Really? They had forgotten something, hadn't they? I believe they had. So we were enslaved to sin. We must not forget that. But he set us free from it. We've never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you should say you will become free? Watch what Jesus said. Jesus answered them, truly, truly, verily, verily. You Navy guys that stood up a while ago, you ever heard that? Now hear this, now hear this. That's exactly what he's saying. He's saying, listen up. Something important's about to be said. You need to listen and see what it's going to be. And he says this, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Amen and amen. You're free. Not to live as you want to live, go as you want to go, but you're free in Christ to live the life of abundant living that he's called you to. That is the great word from him today. I was reading a sermon. I read commentaries sometimes. Some people think that's boring, but I do read commentaries because I learn from them. Still educating myself at 72 years old. Thank the Lord. Amen. Look what he says, and I quote this as he said this to this pastor. I believe God is pleased when we sin. For then he can demonstrate his grace even more. That is the theology of antinomianism. Nowhere in Scripture do you say you sin more to get more grace. That's ridiculous. But that's where a lot of people are. The more I sin, the more grace will abound. I'm under grace. I can do anything and everything that I want to do. That is not freedom, guys. That is bondage. That is bondage when we come under that. We're free to run the race. We're in freedom through Christ, through the cross, thankful for the flag, but there's no greater freedom than the cross of Calvary. So when we go to Hebrews, I want you to see how to run this race. We are called to run. We were called to be runners when we came into the Christian faith. This is what the Lord wants us to do. He didn't call us to sit idly, passively by. He called us to be involved in kingdom work, to serve Him to His glory and for His honor. Knowing we're free, let us consider how to run the race. Look at verse chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore, we know what therefore is therefore, right? Push you back to the previous chapter 11 in that great hall of fame of those in faith, and it pushes you back to see, based on what's been said there, Paul, the writer of Hebrews, says this: therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. First thing I want you to see in this, the third point, is the example of running. The example of running. Who are these people? Jeremiah, Isaiah, Elijah, Moses, Jonah, Amos, Obadiah. All of these people have run the race. These are people, a lot of people interpret this and say, well, they're watching us run the race and they're critiquing us. That is not true, not at all. What it is, it's a picture of people who have run the race, who have finished the course and are in heaven with the Lord, and we can know they're there, and therefore we know we can run the race and we can finish good like they did. That's exactly what that means. And so when we see it, the example of running, we can run because it's the gallery of the faithful. Go back this afternoon and read Hebrews chapter 11. Such an enriching passage. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, they did what they did. Then he says we run in freedom by faith. When our freedom is strangled by the enemy, we fail to run. When sin comes in, we fail to run. We fail to do what we need to do. Ever found yourself walking along and all of a sudden you realize 8 or 9 days have passed by and you hadn't had any time with the Lord, had any time in the Word, hadn't spent a lot of time in prayer, and you're kind of jumbled up because of that? That's when sometimes we get the flesh, the old man, rises up and says and does things it shouldn't do. Next thing I want to show you, the encouragement to run. The encouragement to run. He says, lay aside. In Hebrews 12, he says, lay aside, a great word. Therefore, since we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Lay aside, the word literally means to put off. Are you listening? That is a middle voice word from the original language. What that means is that's something you do. You've got to put it off. God's not going to put it off for you. You have to put it off. Now, He may lead you and guide you, but ultimately, it's like when I was in West Texas growing up, I worked in the oil field some, and I worked on pullover workover units. And I would come in from work, and I'd be pretty nasty, and the last thing my mom wanted was me entering the house with those clothes on. So I figured out I needed to change at the place up there and put on some other clothes. Then I still had to go home and clean up because you were dirty. You're putting off and putting on. That's the picture from the text, but it's something you have to do, is to put it off. And then you can put on the new. You put on the new man, feed the new man. Lay off that encumbrance, what hinders you. The word cling, literally entangle, can mean to plait or to braid. To plait or to braid. It ties you up. Hindrance, listen, and the encumbrance or the thing that hinders you may not be bad. I'll use golf. Or I might use softball, which I played ball for years and years and years and years, literally from 9 to 51, then came out of retirement and played 1 year at 65. I love the game. And it became a part of me. It became so much of my life that the Lord asked me, put it off, because you're not handling it right. You're not doing the right thing. And I put it off and laid it aside for a while. My wife will give testimony to that, because I just lost it one night on a softball diamond skip, and it didn't work too good. I was a pastor, and I just got tied up in the game, and the bad call came, and I let the guy know it was a bad call, and I looked like a complete idiot. Ever done that? Never. I know you haven't, but I did. And I have to lay that aside. I have to put that away from me because it entangles me. Being free from the penalty of sin should compel us to run. When you know your sin's forgiven, when you know that your sin is not held over you, when you are not captive to it any longer, that should compel us to run the race for His glory. I love what F.B. Byer said years ago, a great theologian of old. He quote, "Thousands of Christians are like waterlogged vessels, weighed down with inconsistencies. They can only be towed to the celestial port." I don't want to be towed, guys. I want to run. I want to run the race as long as I can. And even when you can't hardly run it, you can still run it. Bill Elliott is a prime example. The last time I visited him, the one thing on his mind was, when I get up, I'm going to get out here and go visit some more. I'm going to go make some more visits, minister to some people. He was still running the race, even in his great illness. The sin here that we see, due to the definite article, is a particular sin. And we must run the race set before us. The sin possibly could be unbelief. And unbelief prevents us from entering the race or from running the race. If you're here today without Christ, the one thing that keeps you from running the race is unbelief. You haven't stepped over that line and stepped into belief and trusting the Lord by faith and by grace would you be saved. Freedom from sin is given to us by the Lord Jesus by grace through faith. It is the greatest freedom of all. The greatest freedom of all is knowing that life awaits you that's beyond what you can imagine. Bill Elliott is enjoying something today. My mom's enjoying something today. My mother-in-law and father-in-law, my sister, are involved in life the way I do not understand. They're in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't get our arms around that right now, but praise be to God, one day we will if we're in Christ. Amen? One day we will. We'll know what it's all about, but we need to be learning and growing. I'll give you the encouraging to run, what he says about the encourager to run. Look at verse 2. Looking to Jesus. Mark that word, very important. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The encourager to run. What's he say? Look to Jesus. Fix your eyes on the freedom giver. Fix your eyes on the freedom giver. He has given you freedom. Fix your eyes on Him. Find time for Him in this book. I don't know where you are in your journey. I don't know if you're in the Word daily. I'll give you a quick little discipleship lesson. If you're not, you need to be, okay? Start in Proverbs. Today's the 7th day of July. Read Proverbs 7. Tomorrow, read Proverbs 8. If you want to go through the whole book, what would you read after chapter 8? 9, huh? Hey, that's pretty good. Slow, but you're getting there. Verse 9, verse 10, 31 verses in Proverbs. You can read a chapter a day. Young people, I recommend it to you. You know why? Because it's filled with wisdom. Filled with wisdom. And it demonstrates two people in this book, the wise man and the fool. And you may learn from both. Learn from the fool what? What not to do. Learn from the wise man what to do. And it's all in Scripture. I encourage you to feed the new man and bring that freedom to a living reality. Running in freedom is looking for the light, is looking to the light, for there is darkness all around us. Looking to others is good. We need to have accountability, but we don't look to others and see what they're doing or what we're doing and try to base what we're going to do on what they're doing. That can lead you and hinder you as it was the Galatians. Next part, probably the most important thing that we'll say today. I want you to listen carefully. Look at it. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher, perfecter of our faith. He says, look to Jesus. Literally, the translation is looking away. And what he's saying in context of this passage, you need to look away from what hinders you. You need to look away from that which steals your joy and takes away from you your privileges in Christ Jesus. Turn away from that and look unto Jesus. Don't look to those things that bring inconsistency. Don't look at those things that might be sinful in your life and cause you to sin. Turn away from those and look to Jesus. That's exactly what the author's saying. Look the other way. Turn your head. your gaze straight before you. I think Job said that. Let your gaze be straight before you, looking away from what may hinder our freedom and looking unto Jesus. For why? He is the author. Scripture says here that he is the founder and perfecter. Literally translates pioneer or pathfinder. He is the perfecter of our faith. He is the finisher of our faith. One good thing, one interesting thing about the Lord Jesus Christ, listen to me carefully, he walked in perfect faith. So we can trust him, amen? We can trust him. So we look away from those things that hinder us and we look unto him. And he will guide us and direct us that we may become the people of God that he wants us to be in every facet, seeking him. Let us run in freedom, knowing our Lord will carry us to completion. Isn't that a good thought? One day you'll be with him. Are you ready? Do you want to go? Well, four of you do. Do you really anticipate glory? It's an amazing thing to stop and think about. We can't comprehend it, but we can sure think about it a lot, can't we? It'd be encouraging to us to do so. Well, the last thing, the end of the race. Look at verse 3 of Hebrews 12. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Don't grow weary. Don't become faint-hearted. Tough times are going to come. Difficult. I'm not being a prophet of doom. I'm just saying to you that not everything comes up roses. And you're going to have a difficult day, and you're going to have a difficult week, maybe a difficult month, but don't grow weary in well-doing. Don't grow weary of serving the Lord. Don't grow weary of being in the Word. Don't grow weary of coming to church, and don't grow weary of sharing your faith. Something's very important here. He says there's a reward that awaits the winner of the race, right? I've always been amazed that back in the Roman days of the Romans that they ran these races and put all this effort into it and they'd run the race and they'd get this little flowery bonnet thing that they wore. That wasn't much of a prize to me. But see, that's not what we await. The prize that awaits us is heaven, eternity with the Lord, absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the trophy that we have awaiting us. More than that, the Master awaits you. The Master awaits you. If you know him as Savior, he's waiting. And one day we'll go home. Well, in closing, we've had a great celebration through the week about our nation. A lot of hot dogs eaten, as Jeff said. A lot of firecrackers popped on my street at 2 in the morning. I think somebody got their dates mixed up. I think they thought it was New Year's, but it wasn't. But the whole thing is, it was a great celebration. Now we celebrate today with that Christ in us, the hope of glory. And as I think about what we've talked about today, and as I've reevaluated my own self in the sense of the nation and my walk in it as a Christian, these two things are very significant for me. As a veteran of Vietnam era, I will, regardless of cost, stand for the symbol of our freedom. I will stand for the flag. Anybody that doesn't want to, that's their right. That's their privilege. But I'm really not standing for a piece of cloth. I'm standing for the men who stood behind it. And I will stand, regardless. And the other thing, and it is a symbol of freedom, and I respect that. But as a believer who is free from the eternal penalty of sin, I will continue to kneel at the cross. I will continue to be public with my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Have a couple of guys that I mentor, and sometimes I meet with one. Reuven is a real good friend of mine, and mentoring each other, iron sharpening iron. We step out in front of the black walnut many times to start to go, and I put my hand on his shoulder and let's pray. And we pray publicly. I'm not saying that braggadociously. I'm just saying it unashamedly, that I'm going to be a Christian wherever I go. I may not always do it right. I may not say it right. I may not be all I need to be to my family sometime, and it may not be all to the Lord, but my heart wants to. And I have that desire to serve him all the days of my life. Thank God for the freedom that He's given us, not only in America, but in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the greatest freedom. Praise Him. Because of the freedom we have in Christ, we should be loaded with praise. Amen? Praise Him. You know, it's a thing that we do, and maybe we could just let an old guy lead you in that before we close. Can we say it together? Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise
Him for your freedom. Praise Him. Not just think about it on July the 4th, but praise God for it and walk in it every day that you live.
We hope you are encouraged and challenged by what you heard today. If you'd like more information about Champion Forest Baptist Church, our service times, or how you can get connected, visit us at championforest.org. Thanks so much. Have a great day, and God bless.